Our reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 16. Matthew and chapter 16 and verse 13. I don't know if you can remember, but on the last couple of Sunday mornings I've been here, we've been talking about conversations with Jesus. Way back at the beginning of the year, we had a conversation with Nicodemus, when Jesus told him that in order to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again, must be born of God, must be born from above. And then the last time we looked at the story of the woman of Samaria, that Jesus went out of his way to talk to a lady who no one else would talk to in order that she might know eternal life. And today we're going to look at some conversations that Jesus had with Peter. So we're going to start by reading Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 to 23. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." This is the word of the Lord. I think every one of us can probably identify with different disciples, but I think probably most of us will identify at one time or another with Peter. He's so gloriously human, isn't he? If anyone's going to say the wrong thing, it's Peter. If anyone's going to open his mouth and put his foot in it, it's Peter. If anyone's going to make a mistake, it's Peter. But you're not going to find anyone who loves Lord more or wants to serve him more either. And he has been called by Jesus from his life as a fisherman, along with his brother and his friends, to be a fisher of men, to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And as time goes on, Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's performing miracles, he's helping people. But there's something that's more important than all of that. And here he is, he's sitting with his disciples, and he says to them, "Who do people say that I am? What have you heard? You've come round with me for nearly 3 years now. What do people say when they hear about me? Who do they think that I am?" It's one of the most important questions that we can ever ask. Or answer. Who is Jesus? Some of the people thought that he was John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others thought that he was Elijah, the forerunner of the Messiah who was predicted in Malachi chapter 4. Some people thought he was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And others just thought, well, he's another prophet. He's a messenger from God. Who do people say Jesus is? If we were to knock doors, stand in the street and ask, what replies would we get? All sorts of different ones, I'm sure. Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he a good man? Well, we all know about Jesus. He was good, wasn't he? He was kind. He loved children. He got a bit cross with the Pharisees sometimes. He didn't like the hypocrites, but he was good, wasn't he? Wasn't he a wonderful teacher? He told lovely stories. We all know the one about the wise man and the rock. And we all know the one about the good Samaritan. Oh, he was a good storyteller. A good teacher. We could learn from him. Someone in the hospital once said to me, I try and live my life by the Sermon on the Mount. That's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? In fact, it's impossible. But what a good teacher Jesus was. A role model, someone to follow. What would Jesus do? Remember those wristbands? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Well, I'll try and be kind like him. I'll try and be patient. Is that who you think Jesus is? Good man? Good teacher? Good example? Or do you know that he is much more than that? Peter knew more. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ, the one that had been promised all the way through the Old Testament. He wasn't just an ordinary man. He was God's son. He wasn't just someone who was here with no purpose, but he was the one who had come to fulfill God's promise that a Messiah would come, a Savior would come. And he is the one. Jesus tells Peter that he is very blessed to know this, and that this confession would be the foundation of faith and the church itself. When someone knows who Jesus is, that's the real foundation of faith. Remember Thomas after the resurrection, who wouldn't believe until he saw Jesus, said, "My Lord and my God." He realized that Jesus wasn't an ordinary man, but God himself, who wanted to be his Lord and his Savior. So Peter knew who Jesus was. Or did he? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that blessing? And so we have this wonderful conversation. Peter, you know who I am. You're so blessed, and what you're going to teach and what you're going to say is the foundation of the church, and it will be wonderful. It doesn't take long for Peter to get it totally wrong all over again. Jesus begins to teach his disciples that when he gets to Jerusalem, things are not going to be good. He is going to be suffering many things. The elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the religious people are going to turn against him. They're going to turn other people against him. And he's going to be killed. Not just die, he's going to be killed. And rise again. And you know, the disciples never really seem to understand this, but at this point, I think Peter maybe does a bit. And he says, "You, Lord? Going to be killed? Never! Never, never! This can't happen to you. You're God's son. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the conqueror. You're the hero." That's what they expected of a Messiah. And instead, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem and someone's going to kill me." Peter just says, "No, you're not. That's not going to happen to you." He thought the Messiah would be self-assertive, forceful, conquering the world by a demonstration of supreme power. Jesus says, they're going to kill me. Can you imagine how Peter felt when Jesus turns around to him and says, get behind me, Satan? You know, we say it jokingly, don't we, sometimes? You know, when I'm at work, if someone offers me a piece of cake or a bit of chocolate, I'll say, get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me. But can you imagine how Peter must have felt? One minute Jesus is telling him he's a rock and a sure foundation, and he's got wonderful faith, and the next minute he's saying, you got it so wrong, Peter. You've got it so wrong. You see, Peter partly knew who Jesus was, but he didn't understand really why he'd come. Jesus had to make Peter know, make it clear to Peter, that the forceful approach was Satan's approach. Whereas Jesus had come to surrender to the will of his Father in going to the cross. We read those wonderful Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Satan's way is to push to power. Jesus' way is to die. Peter partly knew who Jesus was, but not really why he had come. He didn't understand that Jesus had come to be the Saviour. John writes in his letter, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. He came to be our friend, the one who will never leave us or forsake us. He came to be our Lord, the one that we need to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. Do you know not only who Jesus is, but why he came? If Jesus had just come to be a good preacher, he wouldn't have been any different to lots of other people. If Jesus had only come to be a good example, the same applies. If Jesus had only come to be friendly and loving and kind, there are lots of people who have done that. But we know from God's word that he is the Son of God, come to this earth to die on the cross, to take the punishment for our sins, to rise on the third day, so that all who believe in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. And he will be their Saviour, their friend, and their Lord. So Peter now knows, maybe, who Jesus is and why he has come. But he's not going to fully understand it until after the resurrection. And there are another couple of conversations that Jesus has with Peter. At his first call, Peter was called to be a fisher of men. Remember, Peter and Andrew and James and John were by the Sea of Galilee mending their nets, just going about their everyday work as fishermen, when Jesus comes along and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He'd been out and done all sorts of wonderful things. He'd been sent out with the 2s and the 72s. He'd healed people. He'd cast out demons. He'd seen Jesus transfigured on a mount of transfiguration. And then they came to the Passover. They gathered together to eat the Passover with Jesus. And Jesus says, before this night is over, each one of you will run away and let me down. Bit of a of a sobering thought, wasn't it? Before tonight is over. And Peter, good old Peter, what does he say? The others might, but I will never run away. I will never let you down. You can depend on me. Jesus says, oh, Peter, before the night's over, you're going to say three times that you don't even know me. And Peter is indignant. You know, the Bible tells us that if we think we're strong, if we think we're standing, we need to be careful. I don't suppose Peter meant to be boastful. He didn't mean to disparage the others. He just wanted Jesus to know that he'd do anything for him. But at the arrest of Jesus, he's fallen badly and publicly. Even when a young servant girl comes up to him as he sits by that fire and says, you know Jesus, don't you? Jesus who? Never met him. Don't know him. Yes, you do. You sound like him. You've been with him, I can tell. No. Never met him. And in the end, with curses and oaths, I don't know him. Oh dear. And then he sees the Lord come out. And he remembers what Jesus said to him. And perhaps he remembered his arrogance and his pride. And he goes out. And he weeps bitterly. What on earth have I done? How could I have possibly done that? You would think, wouldn't you, that doing something as dreadful as that, he would never want to see Jesus again. But the Lord is risen. And he says to the ladies, go and tell my disciples that I've risen, and Peter. Especially mention it to Peter. And Jesus comes into the upper room and whispers peace. But then there's another conversation. Let's read from John 21. The disciples are out fishing. They haven't caught anything. So Jesus tells them what to do, and they catch this huge number of fish. And John says, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. And Simon Peter wrapped his clothes around him, jumps into the water, and runs to meet Jesus. When you've failed the Lord, do you run to meet Jesus? Or do you hide from him? And Jesus says, come and have something to eat. And they sit down together. And Jesus says to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt, because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you would stretch out your hands and someone else would dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter rushes to see his Saviour. Did he feel guilty? I'm sure he did. Did he feel ashamed? Did he wish that he hadn't said what he'd said and done what he'd done? Of course. As he sits by the fire next to Jesus, eating a sardine sandwich, Jesus says to him, "Do you love me?" Three times. "Do you love me?" Peter's a bit upset by this, but maybe he remembered that it was three times that he'd said that he didn't even know Jesus. And in the end, he turns to him and says, "Look, Lord, stop asking the question. You know that I love you." It's almost like he's saying, "Yeah, I know I messed up. You know I messed up. But you know that deep down in my heart, I really love you." And Jesus gives him work to do and asks him to follow him into a future that will end in crucifixion, just like his Saviour. He's forgiven, he's restored, he's given work to do by the Lord that he truly loves. We can be like Peter, can't we? Keen to follow, but sometimes when it comes down to it, too self-confident and failing. But like Peter, we can be forgiven. We can be brought back into fellowship. We can tell the Lord that we love him, even though we've never seen him, even though we fail him. And we can be given work to do for him as fishers of men in this world. Peter, the rock who stumbled and fell, becomes the preacher who helps 3,000 people come to faith when he preaches his first sermon. If only. What might God do through you? This morning, the first question is, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why he came? Is he your Saviour, your friend, and your Lord? Do you love him? Do you ever let him down? Of course you do. Of course we do. But do we know that he still loves us, still wants to use us? And when we're filled with his Spirit, as Peter was in Pentecost, he will give us the power to love him, serve him, and live for him all the days of our life. Amen. As I was reading the second part of that with John and Peter in the boat, and Jesus calls them to a meal.